back here from the home of the Hawks on a fourth down and one. The Mammoth defense up to the challenge again. The handoff went to Corey Gary, the fullback, in one more time. The blue and white up to the task. 2 yard loss on the play. Carroll on the tackle, and a lot of blue shirts involved in that one. That was a big stop for MU.
Two times the Colonials have tried it, fourth and one. Two times they have been stopped. Also, I would say two times I thought I would have snuck Paul Jones right behind the center. But the defense does a good job. It all started up front. They get penetration, able to drop the ball carrier.
Time for the offense to cash in on some of this good field position. Asante stretching it off to the left side. KB turns up and will be ridden down at about the 42-yard line. That's a gain of 7.
KB Asante, the ball carrier.
Should yield Mammoth for the second down at about 3.
His longest carry of the afternoon is he's been bottled up. This Mammoth rushing attack has been bottled up. That's their 33rd carry, Matt, for just 90 yards for a team that put two guys over 100 apiece 3 weeks in a row.
Mike Stokovic, the outside linebacker, on that last tackle. Split wide out set. One left, one right for Hill to work with. Bobbled the snap, give to Asante. Totally through the timing of the playoff. Back to the 45-yard line. Asante will lose 3 yards.
Mike Cook credited with the tackle.
Cook with the tackle. And we've seen that a couple times here in this second half. And I'm telling you, it's not been what has been the norm for this team. You know, every once in a while you might get tackled in the backfield. Certainly, I don't remember it more than a couple of times in a game.
Well, credit this Robert Morris defense that came into this game only allowing 3.5 yards a carry and 130 yards a game on the ground to the opposition.
Neil Sterling's been quiet here in this half. Split out wide to the right. Davenport up top to the left along with Elijah Phillips. Ball over the middle. Phillips makes the catch. Got hit hard but hangs on to the football. An aerobatic type catch. And it is a first down for Mammoth. Andy Smagira on the stop.
But not before
big
Mammoth
catch for the veteran player there. Reliable hands over the middle. High pass. He took a shot and hung on.
Stays into the game. Far side wide receiver. I'm not sure what's going on here. There was some movement, some pointing of fingers, and then all of a sudden the ball was snapped. And Brandon Hill falls on it, but a flag came out. Not sure if the play is going to count or it's going to be procedure against someone.
Well, Robert Morris's defense jumped to start things. So they came over. At that point, Hill looked to the sidelines, the coach Van Zyl, and simultaneously Mike Hunchak snapped the ball. You add that equation up and it equals, ugh. And we're not sure what's going on right now as the officials are going to have to sort it out. This guy's been really good at explaining, though.
Defense.
Well, I like the explanation there. It's offside on Robert Morris. Makes perfect sense to me.
Sounds good. Go with it. You're right about Sterling being quiet. Hasn't even had a pass thrown his way here in the second half. Has over there, if you look at him, little number 4, Marcellus Branch, goes generously at 5'11 in single coverage.
Split out this time wide to the right. Ball from the left hash mark. Hill on the ground to Asante. Keeps the legs moving on what was a 1st and 5. We'll get 3 and set up a 2nd and 2.
Score here, Matt, would be huge. If Mammoth's able to get into the end zone, after what we've seen from this Robert Morris offense, you're a Mammoth fan, it has to give you confidence. But we're still in that weird, you know, score and a half, score and change lead. Matt, if Mammoth's able to get one more on the board, The Hawk faithful and Coach Callahan can breathe a little easier.
I would agree. A touchdown here would do wonders. Clock winding down at the 12:25 mark. Asante stretching it off to the left side, looking for the first down. This is going to be right at the mark inside the 25 to the 24.
Brian Jones trips him up.
Brian Jones in on that last tackle. Just a little shy to make it third
down
and less than a yard.
Short.
And I know, Matt, we see these running backs split carries. I am going to take a look down there just to make sure we do see 29 because it's been a steady dose of Asante who's had the tougher go of it of the two backs here in the second half.
Asante stays in. Play clock winding down to 8. The give is to Asante up the middle. Not much to work with, but enough for the first down.
And Julian is down there, so this series belongs to KB.
Sante, the ball
Haynes
carrier.
Haynes has the helmet off, taking a break. Monmouth rotating Pandorf out, and Elijah Phillips back in.
First down!
Sterling will split this time. Wide man to the right. Phillips will go up top to the left. Morrow, H-back sent to the right side of the formation, and an offset eye look. Now Morrow goes left. Tight end right is Brandon Sook. Here is the give to Asante. Good hole off the left side. And KB will ground it down. That's more like it. About a 10-yard pickup inside the 15 to the 13-yard line.
And that's good offensive line work there. Good blocking on that left side that enabled Asante to pick up that first down yardage. And now we'll get a look, Matt, at the third running back that MU can tout. Number 37, freshman LaVon Chaney.
That last carry does result in another Hawks first down.
Now I'm wondering, is Hayes healthy?
I'm going to say yes. I don't think he'd be that close to everything going on. It'll be LaVon Chaney who will get the carry here. Chaney, the much talked about freshman, gets a rare opportunity to carry the football and push backwards for two.
Holderman makes the stop. Loss
first carry in his career.
Going to stay on the field here. Monmouth doing a good job here, if for nothing else, maintaining possession, winding this clock down as we tick down close to the 10-minute mark in the fourth quarter.
Chaney, the 5'9", 180-pound freshman from Edgewater, Maryland, will stay on here for a second and 12. Tight end wing off to the left, split wide set. Hill pumps once, goes down the middle, wants Fable, the ball batted up in the air, and then hits the ground. Cook on the coverage, and it will fall incomplete to now set up a third and long.
Yeah, I feel bad for Zach Fable today because he's been open now three times, and Hill hasn't been able to hit him. That one, a seam route right down the middle of the field. He was between the N and the M in the end zone, and all Hill had to do was lead him another step towards the goalpost, and he had himself a touchdown. Threw it behind, closer to the defender, which allowed him to break it up.
Asante back in. Chaney checks out. Richards and Sterling this time combo to the near sideline right. Phillips up top to the left. KB on the ground. Big hole inside the five. Dancing into the end zone. Touchdown moment. 15-yard touchdown run for KB Asante. And the Hawks have now opened it up 27-9.
That's that score that we were talking about, Matt. That's what Monmouth needed for that extra breathing room now. You've got a little more room for error here in the fourth quarter. Credit the offensive line on that series, moving some Colonials out of the way the whole way downfield.
Spillane on for the extra point, his fourth try of the day. Bellis, good hold. Kick is up, and yeah, that is good. 28-9. Monmouth leads, 9:58 to go in the fourth quarter. We step out for 30 seconds. Back with more Hawk football on the Shore Sports Network.
Aramark is an award-winning leader in professional services, providing food service, facilities management, and uniform and career apparel to healthcare institutions and universities just like Monmouth. Aramark is proud to be Monmouth University's official food service provider.
Matt Harmon, Eddie Acopinti back here, Shore Sports Network, Ray Malaspina in the studios. Hawks have opened up a 19-point spread, 28-9. They'll try an onside kick here, pooched up in the air and caught! Andrew Sutton gets it in, but guess what? A flag down. Someone, I think, broke the line at the 35-yard line. This is going to be offside.
Well, they picked the perfect time to do it. And unfortunately, Matt, that perfectly executed onside kick is negated because freshman Javon Moore was offsides.
So it will come back, and Monmouth will have to re-kick. 10-play, 49-yard scoring drive. They say Asante from 14 yards out. That's the official word. I had said 15. I thought that's where the line of scrimmage was, but it was just a bit inside. Took up 4 minutes and 55 seconds off the clock, and the Hawks lead it 28-9.
Now, we should have found out the fix was in, Matt, when we saw Eric Spillane out there doing the kickoff duties. Perfect little pooch opportunity. He's since gone to the bench, and Santangelo, the normal kickoff man, will come back on.
Robert Morris was dead to rights on that one. Didn't expect it at all.
I'm kind of surprised, though, too. Up 28-9. Coach really going for it. I like that.
It wants to deliver the hammer, so they speak. Santangelo will have 5 extra yards of which to work with as he will boom it away from the 30-yard line. End over end. This will be returnable by Smagera, who drops the football at the 9-yard line and then gets taken down at the 15. Great coverage down the field by Darren Ambush, the freshman wide receiver. First time we've called his name all season. Got down the field in a hurry and made a nice tackle.
Couple of freshmen from Maryland getting some early love here. Chaney on the series before, and that time, reserve wide receiver Darren Ambush.
Stop made by Darren Ambush.
So now an opportunity for the defense to assert themselves again. 9:46 to go in the fourth quarter, 28-9. You would think Robert Morris would have to put the ball in the air a bit more. Jones will do just that. Wants to let it fly over the seam. He's got Deontay Howard, is wide open. Out over the 35 to the 37-yard line. Someone forgot to check the running back coming out of the backfield. That's a long gain of 22. And a first down for Robert Morris.
First down, Robert
Under 9.5 to go in this one. Colonials passing the football today. Jones now 14 out of 25 for right around 130 yards.
New set of safeties in for Monmouth as well. Gray and Carroll. The back two, Johnson and Brandon, still at the corner spot. Minnick, Anakuzi, and Demersion are the three linebackers. Jones wants to throw again. Has time. Dumps it down over the middle for Pearson. Tackle made by Minnick at the 49-yard line. Gain of 12 and another first down.
To Pearson.
We see this.
Really, it's not really prevent defense, but it's definitely giving a lot of cushion in the zone.
I was just going to say that, same point, partner, that it's not a straight-up prevent, but there is a lot of room for Robert Morris receivers to operate in the flats and in the seams right now.
Single back set, receivers either way. H-back in motion is Digby. Here is the give. It will go to Caleb Stennis, and he is tackled in the backfield for a loss. Irizarry among those in on the stop along with Masick for Monmouth. Make it second and 11 with 8 minutes and 20 seconds to go in this fourth quarter.
The play was made, or the tackle rather, was made by Irizarry, but the play was made by number one, Anthony McDonough, who flew up from his outside backer spot and blew up the lead blocker, enabling Irizarry to make the play ultimately. But nice job by McDonough.
Single back set again in a split wide receiver package. Play action for Jones. Wants to go down the field. There is a catch made again by Pearson in front of Carroll in Monmouth territory at the Hawk 44.
To Pearson.
First of all, never believing the Robert Morris broadcasters again, by the way.
Yeah.
Because Pearson.
Keep an eye on him. He might see some action.
Because Pearson, who might play, in air quotes, Akron transfer, looks every bit a solid tight end. Big target, good hands. He goes 6'5", 235.
Third down, let's call it 3, from the Hawk 44-yard line. Monmouth showing pressure up the middle with Demersion. Hawks in the nickel. Counter to the left side. First down and more for Deontay Howard. Taken down by Clark Coe at the 36-yard line. Gain of 8.
Coe with the tackle.
Time is the ally of Monmouth right now with just about 7 minutes to go in this fourth quarter. Now exactly 7. And RMU trailing by 3 scores.
Yeah, and they're in no hurry. They're still huddling, going in and out as they normally would.
Take your time.
we're okay with it. Converting there, 3rd and 3, keeping it on the ground.
First down and 10 for Robert Morris from the Monmouth 36. Three-step drop for Jones. Lets it go. That one almost intercepted again. Brandon reading that out route pretty well. Stepped in front of Jeter to deflect it away.
That's the third time that Tavern Brandon has stepped in front of an intended Paul Jones pass. Seems to be reading that well. They've tried him deep a few times, but he's been good playing things in front of him. Colonial shuffle some new personnel in. Monmouth will stick with that nickel look.
Second and 10. Minnickin, check it, McDonough and Demersion, the two backers. Jones in trouble, dancing along the line of scrimmage, looking for help, and will throw it out of bounds to set up a third and 10.
That time, good coverage Jones again. The back four, which on that play was five, did well because the pressure wasn't there. Jones able to escape, but he had nowhere to go with it downfield. And now third and 10. Now a third and long. Obvious passing situation for Robert Morris. We'll see if finally they can get to Paul Jones, who's been elusive in the pocket thus far.
Third down and 10. 6:21 to go in the fourth quarter. Split back set for Jones. Two receivers off to his right. Has time in the pocket. Now in trouble. Ball stripped away, and Monmouth recovers it. Darnell Leslie stripped it and fell on it. Stripped it on his way to the ground. Recovered it on the ground. And for the second consecutive week, he's got himself a fumble recovery. And Monmouth has taken over with 6:10 to go and up 28-9.
And there you go. Called for it and got it. The defensive line, specifically Darnell Leslie, able to break through finally. He'll get credited for a sack as well. And he strips and recovers the Paul Jones fumble. His evolution as a football player, Matt, continues, and it's been pretty fun to watch these last few weeks.
Yeah, was a fun guy to talk to as well on Tuesday night. He was on the coach's show, undersized on the stat board, 6'2", 225, but boy, does he play at full speed. Play action for Hill. Looking for the dagger. Down the field, wants Lamar Davenport. Running step for step. That ball had a ton of air underneath it, and it falls incomplete to bring up a second and 10.
That was a weird looking throw. Did it just kind of hang up there for a long time?
It sure did. Brian Jones on the coverage, and now second and 10. I guess that was Mama's way of saying we want to just end the game right here, which you don't mind. A little bit more on a line, and maybe Davenport can make a play on it.
Yeah, exactly. He was going single coverage to the post with no safety over the top.
Offset eye to the right. Asante in trouble. Runs through a tackle. Not in trouble anymore. To the 40, 35, 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5, KB. Into the end zone for a touchdown. 60, check it, 55 yards for KB Asante. And Monmouth scores again. Asante delivering the knockout blow for the Hawks with 5:45 to go. Did it mostly himself. In a play that looked like he might lose a yard or two, he explodes for a long gain.
The Hawks did the majority of their damage through the air in the first half. In the second half, they have been on the ground. Two touchdowns now for Asante. This one, a long one, to, as my partner said, effectively put this game out of reach.
Spillane now to try to make it 5-for-5 on the extra points. Velas, good snap, good hold, good kick. It's been all Monmouth today, spoiling the last game. Joe Walton will coach in West Long Branch. And as much as we like Coach Joe, that's just okay with us. 35-9, 5:45 to go in the fourth quarter. We step out for 30 seconds. Back with more Hawk football on the Shore Sports Network. 55-yard touchdown run for KB Asante unofficially puts him at 103 for the game. Julian Hayes at 94. So Monmouth on the verge of having back-to-back rushers in four consecutive weeks go over 100 yards. On the ensuing kickoff, Andy Smagira will take it out over the 25, run out of bounds by Isaluka at the 29-yard line. And Robert Morris has it first down and 10. Almost unthinkable to think that you could do it 4 weeks in a row with the same two guys.
It's kind of, it is unbelievable. And I agree with you, especially this Monmouth team that for the longest time was led by one running back, Sinisi, for the longest. And then it was Hayes. Now with the emergence of Asante and the ability of the coaches to use them in the way they are, this has been the formula for success, really running away from opponents.
Jones under center, split back set, man in motion, Jeter and Mitchell. Now over the right side, Jones wants to throw. In trouble some more, and we'll get sacked. Dave Demersion will get credited for it. Pat O'Hara helped collapse the pocket down. And with the sack, the ball pushed all the way back inside the 25 to the 23-yard line, second and 16.
I know you're curious, and I know when the last... Well, wait, I'll save it. I don't want to ruin it just yet.
Okay. Our stats, by the way, right on the money. Plus three over the 100-yard mark for KB. Six under for Hayes at 94. Split back set again for Jones. Wants to throw. Looks over the middle. Has the man. It's Mitchell who will make the catch and have a first down out over the 40 to the 41-yard line. You'd almost have to think that you'd have to start looking into... Historical-wise, not just in Monmouth, but nationwide, has there ever been or when was the last time that a team had had four games in a row of two guys going over the 100-yard mark?
I'm with you. It's not something that typically happens. Sometimes teams that are triple-option teams get a lot of guys doing it, but then you get a quarterback doing it with a running back. This is two tailbacks in four straight weeks, so a month worth of football, each going over a hundo in each game. It's incredibly impressive.
It looks as if, and again, you don't ever want to put the cart before the horse, so to speak, but 35-9, you feel pretty comfortable with just over 4 minutes left. Penalty, by the way, procedure penalty on Robert Morris has backed him up to the 36-yard line. It looks like MU will head out to Loretto on a three-game winning streak, and we did some digging into the archives to find out when the last time Monmouth had had a three-game win streak. We'll tell you after this first down at 15. Jones dancing in the pocket. Lets it go. Big arm, but out of bounds. Flag thrown.
That's the ball's uncatchable.
Aye, aye, aye. Tevron Brandon running with Dwayne Mitchell.
Jones' pass intended for Mitchell is incomplete. There's a flag.
Matt, the ball's over the Powerade sign, which is 10 yards out of play.
Not sure how that could be a pass interference, but I don't know what other call it could possibly be. So, our answer to the question is?
We didn't have to go that far back in the record books, thankfully, that the last three-game winning streak Monmouth had was last season when they defeated the University of Rhode Island, Wagner, and Sacred Heart in three consecutive weeks.
The ball has been ruled uncatchable. I wonder when the last time was before that.
Well...
And then the last time was before that, and then before that, and then that.
I think the other point that you're making is a good one. I'd love to see when the last time a team had four straight weeks of two backs going over 100 at the FCS level.
Second down and 15 now for Jones after the penalty flag picked up and waved off. Jones running out of room. Wanted Gavin on the sideline, deflected up in the air.
Jones pass.
Johnson and Carroll there on the stop. Third down and 15 now with 3:38 to go in this fourth quarter. Monmouth comfortably ahead 35-9.
And also let me make that last point again that Julian Hayes is still 6 yards short of that number. He has 94 in this game. Asante has 103 and two scores. A lot of those in the second half. Over 80.
They haven't done it yet, I think, is what we need to concentrate on.
Exactly.
Hayes still needs 6 yards. Having a conversation with Sam Dorsett, the running backs coach. We'll see if Hayes goes back in.
Former Colonial, Coach Dorsett, and the Robert Morris Athletic Hall of Fame, actually.
Delay of game penalty coming up on Robert Morris. They have had a ton of penalties in this game. That was interesting what you just did right there.
Thanks, Josh.
Last time Josh will want to be in the box with us.
I tried to give you the penalty numbers, and because of all the room we have up here, I knocked some stuff over.
10 penalties on the day for Robert Morris.
I can't wait for that rendering to be a reality.
That was pretty good, Abbott.
For the new press box.
Third and 20. Split back set, split receiver set for Jones. Here comes the pass rush. Jones hangs in the pocket, lets it go. Far side throw is complete.
Jones
catch was made
to Mitchell.
To Dwayne Mitchell. Out over the 40, but still a good solid 9 yards shy of the first down, and Robert Morris will punt it away.
So the Colonials pretty much putting up the white flag here, electing to punt. And worth mentioning, while we have this 35-9 game, some of the real classic games that these two teams have played that we've witnessed over the years. If you remember, some years back out in Moon Township, there was the miraculous play, the miracle in Moon, when Miles Austin tipped the ball to Tim Hiltwine. That capped a furious final minute comeback.
La Mancusa, high spiraling kick that Phillips will let bounce to the 10-yard line and then kind of step out of bounds, half step, half pushed by Clay Ilkin. Yeah, they have. I mean, anytime you play 18, now make it 19 times in the span of 20 years, you're going to have some big games. 29-27 was the final score of the game I believe you're referring to, Eddie.
Sure was. That was back in 2004. That was a crazy, crazy ball game.
Last year was a good game, 26-21 win that came down to the last play. The clock kind of ran out on Robert Morris, and they were extremely upset that they didn't have an extra second or two to work with. On first down and 10 here, Hayes looking for that 100-yard mark and going to be darn near close to it here. Gets out to the 14-yard line, so a couple yards away.
Cooper.
Several years ago, I believe it was 2012 and 2010, that was the kick game for Eric Spillane. Not to bring up a bad memory, but he had a field goal that was blocked. He had a kick that was missed, and Robert Morris wound up winning that game 17-16. Not many one-sided scores. A couple in there, but not many one-sided scores in the rivalry.
Yeah, really, since, you could probably say 1998, since then, very few, maybe 99, very few more than one-score games between these two longtime rivals.
Second and five. Hayes needs one more yard. He will have it there. So there you go. Barring anyone going backwards, Monmouth has done something pretty remarkable. They have put two guys, Hayes and Asante, over the 100-yard mark for four consecutive weeks.
Third down.
And I'll tell you what, that's great news for us, obviously. Great news for the Monmouth team and offensive staff. And a headache for the communications guys, because now they get to look up when the last time that was.
Yeah, there's got to be some digging in that one for sure. Third down and two for Monmouth. Clock winding down to 75 seconds to play. Split wide out set. Two backs in the backfield. Hayes gets it. Running off the left. He's going to have the first down. That will essentially end the game. I can't imagine anybody will stop it after here. And Monmouth will pick up their third win of the season and their third win in a row. They've turned their year around for sure. At 0-3 with losses to Montana State, Liberty, and Lehigh, I think some would have questioned whether or not the team had enough to get off the deck. Well, now wins over Holy Cross, Columbia, and Robert Morris have proven that they have, with a trip to Western PA coming up to Loretto next Saturday. Hayes gets the carry here. Lost a yard or two back to the 20-yard line. That'll still keep him over 100. And Monmouth doesn't have to snap the football again. Big win at home in front of the home faithful at Kessler Field. Monmouth evens their record here in West Long Branch to 1-1 on the year. They'll be back home in 2 weeks against Cornell. We'll take you into our post-game show. We'll talk stats. We'll talk scores from around the country. We'll have our player of the game, our drive of the game, and our look ahead to next week, all after this two-minute break. Monmouth wins 35-9, a convincing victory for MU over Robert Morris. We're back right after this with more Hawk football on the Shore Sports Network.
Please drive home safely.
Big win today for the Hawks, knocking off Robert Morris by a score of 35-9 to even their record at 3-3, with a game next Saturday out in Loretto, Pennsylvania. That will be against the Red Flash. Good time to take a peek at our scoreboard presented by Coca-Cola Zero. Real Coke taste in zero calories. With Monmouth again winning this one 35-9 over Robert Morris. Let's check out first the other NEC scores going on, as that will be a big bulk of the schedule for Monmouth coming up. Duquesne with a win over West Liberty State 27-14. Wagner 20, Sacred Heart 17. That game late in the fourth quarter. Sacred Heart came into that game at 5-0. Central Connecticut State with a 31-23 lead on St. Francis, PA. Those are the NEC games going on right now. Later on tonight, Bryant will square off at Stony Brook in a non-league game. The other Monmouth opponent, Cornell, they got beat today by Colgate 41-20. That and Ivy League matchup. The Colgate, check it, the Cornell team will be here for Monmouth in a couple of weeks. In the Big South today, of course, where Monmouth is headed next year, good season continues for Charleston Southern, who beat North Greenville 28-14. Charleston Southern now 6-0 on the year. Great game going on in Charlotte, where Charlotte, not a Big South team, leading Big South member Gardner Webb 46-45 late in the fourth quarter in that contest. That is the Big South activity going on right now. Let's see if there's anything else that pops up here. I'm sorry, Wofford is leading Presbyterian by a score of 34-7. Later on tonight, Liberty will take on Old Dominion. Top 25 action, a big win today in a matchup of top 25 teams. Number 8, Florida State beats number 25, Maryland, 63-0. Number 7, Louisville, an easy time of things with Temple, 30-7. The Cardinals are now 5-0 on the year. Texas Tech leading Kansas by a score of 54-16. Alabama 45, Georgia State 3. Just kicking off, Miami entertaining Georgia Tech. Minnesota on the road at number 19, Michigan, who looks for their fifth win to open up the year. Clemson trying to go to 5-0. They are taking on the Orange up in Syracuse. Tennessee later on will be home for Georgia. That one just starting, as is Kansas State and Oklahoma State. No score there first quarter. Idaho is home for Fresno State later on. And then the night matchups, Oregon will visit Colorado. Arkansas will be at number 18, Florida. Old Miss at Auburn. Mississippi State home for LSU. TCU visiting Oklahoma. South Carolina welcoming in Kentucky. Arizona State and Notre Dame set the square off. Baylor home for West Virginia. Ohio State will take on Northwestern. Big one in the Big Ten tonight. And number 15, Washington, squaring off against number 5, Stanford. That's the premier game in the Pac-10, kicking off at 10:30 this evening. That is our out-of-town scoreboard presented by Coca-Cola Zero. Coke Zero, enjoy everything. What we'll do now is step out and take a 60-second timeout. We'll come back with final stats and thoughts on this one. Again, Monmouth taking this one 35-9 over Robert Morris. We're back with our drive of the game, player of the game. We'll look ahead to Monmouth's next game right after this 60-second timeout. A winner today for the Hawks. We're back on the Shore Sports Network. Well, if you question maybe where the season was headed after 0-3, it is completely turned around. Is Monmouth now 3-3 on the year, beating Robert Morris today 35-9. Before we give out our post-game awards with player and drive of the game, let's run through some final stats. Here are the offensive numbers for Monmouth. The 22 first downs, outdoing Robert Morris, who had 13. Total offense, 370 yards for MU on 68 plays. The run-pass split, 181 on the ground, 189 through the air. 254 today for RMU on 63 plays, 183 through the ground, and just 71 yards on the ground. Again, the defense doing a great job. Couple of key numbers. Time of possession basically even. A little bit more than 30 for Monmouth. A little bit under 30 for Robert Morris. Penalties played a big factor today. 11 for Robert Morris for 65 yards. Just 3 for MU for 15 yards on the day. Third down conversions outstanding for Monmouth. 9 of 14, while Robert Morris 2 of 13. That continues to be a real strong suit for this defense, which keeps getting better. They force Robert Morris today to throw the football after the ground game was pretty much ineffective. Individually, the Robert Morris leaders, Deontay Howard, 14 carries for 76 yards. Paul Jones, 18 of 33 for 183. A touchdown and interception, was sacked 3 times today. DJ Pearson led the way. He had 6 catches for 63 yards. Also a touchdown. Dwayne Mitchell, 5 catches for 47 yards. Mike Cook led the way. Defensively, he had 9 total tackles. DJ Myers and Mike Stakovic with 7 apiece. For Monmouth, Julian Hayes able to outdo KB Asante by 1 yard, but the key number, both over 100 for the fourth consecutive day. Hayes, 26 carries for 104. Asante, 15 carries for 103. Had that long 55-yard touchdown run that certainly put this game out of range. Brandon Hill's numbers, modest but somewhat effective. 12 of 23 for 189 yards, threw 3 touchdowns, picked off once, and was sacked twice. Neil Sterling had a monster day today, 5 for 90 for 3 touchdowns, all coming in the first half. They didn't really need to throw the football, Monmouth did very much in that second half. Eric Sumlin, 3 for 53. Lamar Davenport, 2 for 26. Elijah Phillips had that big catch, 1 for 11. Defensively, Clark Coe and Gary Onakuzi leading the way. way. They both had six tackles. Nick Carroll with a big day as well, chipped in with five tackles. Our scoring plays today, DJ Pearson got Robert Morris on the board first. A 12-yard touchdown pass from Paul Jones after just a two-play, 9-yard drive. That was after the blocked punt for Robert Morris. They were able to take it in on their first touch from scrimmage. Monmouth then scored three consecutive times to wind down the second, the first half rather, first quarter into the second quarter. All Brandon Hill to Neil Sterling catches. First one a 9-yarder, a 10-play, 77-yard drive. Hill then going back to work with Sterling, 13-yard pitch and catch that time, 9 for 74. Hill to Sterling to conclude the scoring for Monmouth in the first half. Two-play, 39-yard drive, 41-yard touchdown that took up just 43 seconds on the clock. Robert Morris did score two more on the board with a safety with 32 seconds to go. Halftime score was 21-9. Nobody scored until early in the fourth quarter. KB Asante with the first of two touchdowns for him today. 14-yarder after a 10-play, 49-yard drive took up just about 5 minutes on the clock. Monmouth leading 28-9 at that point, and then Asante just about 4 minutes later scoring from 55 yards out, and MU wins this one today, Eddie, 35-9.
Dominating performance, Matt, by this Hawks team. The defense does a tremendous job limiting the Colonials to 254 total yards. Monmouth on the ground, started slow, finished strong, putting both Julian Hayes and KB Asante over 100. You mentioned it, Sterling's big day with the three touchdown grabs, all from Brandon Hill, who did throw a pick, but he was 12 of 23, as you said, for 189. I'm actually going to go ahead and take a little creative license now and award our first post-game award of the game, and I'm going to give the player of the game award to Neil Sterling on those five catches, 90 yards, three touchdowns. His dominant first half really pushed MU out in front, and that player of the game award is sponsored by McLoone's Restaurants. Visit McLoone's.com for information on all of their great locations.
Well, I'm happy to hand out the Drive of the Game award today, presented by World Subaru, located on Shrewsbury Avenue in Tinton Falls, worldsubaru.com. They think the world of their customer, and I'm going to go to the very first scoring drive for Monmouth because I thought that was important in terms of confidence and just the overall structure of the game. After Robert Morris blocked the punt and took it in to go up 7-0, Monmouth able to answer back on that 10-play, 77-yard drive that took up 4:01 on the clock. Hill to Sterling for what was the first of three scores on the day to even the score at 7 and kind of get everybody back on even keel. Monmouth then went on to score a ton more on this afternoon, 35 total points on the board. Our upcoming game presented by Coach USA. Coach USA driven with pride. Next week back on the road after a stop here in West Long Branch. Monmouth will take on a team that they have dominated in their history but did lose last year to St. Francis, Pennsylvania here in West Long Branch. So I know a little bit of revenge on the mind will be on the mind of the Hawks as they will take on the Red Flash in the Pine Bowl, trying to pick up their fourth consecutive win and have a winning record before coming back home here for homecoming against Cornell.
Which is always a great day, and we know how great that is, both being Monmouth grads, and we're looking forward to the 19th. But first, a little detour out to western, slightly western, central PA for that game with St. Francis. That game was last season when the Red Flash came here to Kessler Field and ran all over MU. So as you say, revenge on their mind. You talked about it in pregame. What was MU going to do against an NEC opponent? And we see they come out, they're sluggish early, but they end up ultimately really running Robert Morris right off the field.
They certainly did for their third consecutive win of the year. I want to thank everyone involved in the broadcast today, starting with Ray Malaspina back in the studios of the Shore Sports Network. Great job, of course, getting us on the air, pushing all the buttons during the course of the broadcast. The folks here at Robert Morris, including head coach Joe Walton, who we missed seeing on the sideline in what was a good rivalry back and forth between him and Kevin Callahan during the course of what was now 19 matchups. Robert Morris still owning the 10-9 series advantage. For my partner, Eddie Acapinti, Matt Harmon saying so long from West Long Branch. We'll review this one and preview the upcoming game against St. Francis Tuesday night from Jack's Goal Line Stand on the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Football Show from 7 to 8:30 on these same stations. Thanks so much for listening. Enjoy the rest of your Saturday afternoon. Have a great football weekend. Monmouth the winner, 35-9 over the Colonials. The Hawks are 3-3 and looking for more. You've been listening to Monmouth Hawks Football on the Shore Sports Network.